This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with an app creator that helps dog lovers find the right dog for them. I will tell you all about her and introduce you as soon as we come back from these messages from our sponsors.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a pet parent, an entrepreneur. She's an adventure seeker, a foodie, a coffee lover, and a tea drinker. She's a truth seeker that was born and raised in Connecticut. She's dog mom to an adorable 7-year-old Italian greyhound named Vanessa. She's founder of the Hands to Paws app that matches humans to the right purebred or rescue dog. Her name is Elizabeth Menegon. Welcome, Elizabeth. It's so good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is so exciting.
Well, I want to get to know you and everything that makes you tick. But before we get into your story and the story of your app and how it helps dog lovers, I want to introduce our drinking game today. So anybody at home participating in our drinking game, anytime you hear this word.
The secret word is lifestyle.
Make sure you take a drink of whatever you're enjoying, but please be over 21 in the U.S. to partake. Never drink and drive and always drink responsibly. So what are you having on this warm afternoon?
A little vodka.
A little vodka? Do you have a favorite vodka brand, or are you kind of...
You know, it's really interesting. There is a vodka that it's very hard to get, and it's from the Hudson Valley, and it's made from apples.
Ooh.
And it really is hands down better than a potato vodka. It's really incredible. It's really delicious. So I try not to partake too much.
Yes, of course. Because if it goes down like water, forget it.
Then you wake up the next day and then you think of all the people you drunk texted that you dated, like your ex-boyfriend, and you're like, oops, I think I did that, but I thought it was a dream.
Yes, yes, we have all done that. But yes, I encourage everybody to put the phone away before you start indulging. Well, I'm actually keeping it pretty simple today. I'm having a little bit of vodka myself with passion fruit juice.
Ooh.
So it's a refreshing. It's kind of light, kind of refreshing, but it's still a little boozy. So cheers to you for being on the show. Because we're going to talk about choosing the right dog for our lifestyle, for our home, for our family, I want to introduce this game called Dog Factor. So this game is based on a list that I got from masterclass.com that outlines 6 factors to consider when choosing a dog. I want your opinion on why these factors matter. Are you ready to play?
I am ready to play.
All right, here we go. Size. Why is that important?
Size matters.
It does.
It certainly does.
Why does it matter to the dog-seeking family?
It depends. It can depend on your lifestyle. Let's say you love to travel and you like to take your pet. You cannot take a pet on a plane that's over 20 pounds. So it either goes in the undercarriage or you leave it at home. Some people do a lot of summer camping trips where they like a bigger dog that keeps the kids company. It makes people feel safe. So size matters, because with size can come grooming, drooling. Small can come with barking. So size is just a portion of it. There's a few other factors that go in, but size matters.
I agree. Size matters. With two young children, I can tell you the size matters. Like, I know that all dogs bite, but my concern for a big dog versus a small dog and their bite obviously matters to me. So I always tell my kids, like, every dog bites, but I'm much more careful around my big dog, for example, than I am around maybe a smaller dog, just because of the damage they can cause. But again, all dogs can bite. All right, next one. Next factor to consider is schedule. Why is considering a family's schedule important?
If you're busy, leaving a dog at home all day is not a good idea. So if you're a really busy family and you have a dog that you take with you, if you're a soccer mom and you go to a game and you go to games on the weekend and you bring your Springer Spaniel or whatever dog you have, the busier you are, you want to consider, is this a dog that's going to enjoy all of these events? Because leaving a dog at home all day is just not fair. Creating a dog all day is just not fair.
Agreed. Agreed. 100%. All right, yeah. Next factor is activity level, the family's activity level. Why does that matter?
Well, I can tell you my activity level, which is close to none. So I have a dog that loves to sit on my lap. She could care less if it's raining, if it's sunny out. She's happy staying and really doing nothing. She's very sedentary. So if you're an active family and you do things together, you go hiking, you want to bring an animal that's going to be able to keep up, not an animal like mine who would rather be carried around in a backpack.
Right, absolutely. How about breed? Why does breed matter? And you know this better than most.
Breed, let's just get down to it. Breed is everything. You do a disservice to an animal that is not conducive to your lifestyle, your expectations, your needs, and it's not a good match. And when a not a good match comes, issues then come with that. You've got kids that are disappointed, you have behavioral issues with pets. So if the breed, and that's why the app was created, the type of breed, there's over 220 breeds that are recognized. And the American Kennel Club does the recognition of these animals. So out of 220 breeds, there are some amazing breeds that people just don't know about because they're stuck in the designer dog, doodle, anything. And that's just not the case. There are wonderful animals that are out there that are a wonderful fit as opposed to an overbred puppy mill dog.
Yes. Yes. I just released an episode about puppy mills and the dangers of puppy mills. So if you're not familiar, please, I will link it right here so you can check out that episode too. But please go check that out because Joanna Kloster is the guest that I interviewed, and she and I discussed the really sad parts and the liability that these puppies can become down the line for the family that buys them without knowing what they're getting. Right. Next one is age. Age. How does age matter?
Age. So you would be talking about then adoption, correct?
Yes.
So
or age, not. Or puppies.
Well, so here's the thing. So let's just talk about adoption. The age of a dog adoption is really up to you. If you're a little bit older and you don't want a puppy, a dog that's maybe 10, you don't want to have an animal that's going to outlive you.
Right.
That's why it's never good to give an elderly person a puppy.
Yes.
Because there's other issues there. But usually when you get a puppy should not leave its mother until it's 12 weeks old. Mm-hmm. Period. A lot of these puppy mill dogs are taken too early. So people that go into pet stores are buying animals that are far too young. And the reason why they do that is they have a shelf life.
Right.
Nobody wants an 8-month-old puppy. They want a 3-month-old puppy. So they take them away at 6 weeks old, sometimes even earlier. So it's a family decision. You have to be ready to manage a puppy, and that comes with chewing on slippers, peeing on the floor, taking them outside, learning them to walk on a leash. It's like a baby. It's malleable, and you need to do everything. And if you don't do it right, you can end up with a lot of issues, a lot of problems.
Absolutely. And I actually think it's sometimes harder than a baby, because babies you can bring with you. Puppies you can't always bring with you. So you're like forced to be in two places at once at times with a puppy. I am not a puppy person. I think they're adorable and wonderful, and I love to see them on social media. But I, in this home, probably will never have a puppy. I love an old dog. I love an adult dog. And after a certain age, I'm happy to train and help and guide. But that puppy period is just way too much for me. I just don't enjoy it.
Well, you know, my mom said something once, which is very true. You never buy a dog for your children, because you always end up taking care of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Period.
Absolutely. Your kids will make a lot of promises, but they're not going to see any of them through.
Oh, they're going to tell you, oh, mom, I'm going to walk the dog. And when they have to go out at 9 at night, like who's going to put their 10-year-old kid at night? Or it's pouring rain on a Sunday morning. It just, it doesn't work unless your kids are a little bit older.
Yes.
Where they understand the commitment and the responsibility. But yeah, no, doesn't work.
Agreed.
I said that when I wanted a brand new 10-speed bike, and I left it out in the rain. Of course I did.
Of course you did. Yes. Kids, we have a way of destroying everything we touch. All right. Well, the last one, the last factor that masterclass.com thinks we should consider is history. Why do you think that matters?
Most people are buying dogs based on what they look like.
Yes.
So they're not interested. And dogs are being bred, by the way, as a commodity. It's like coming up with a new handbag or a new shoe or a new car. So dogs now are solely being bred for aesthetics. So history is important with a rescue, but I wouldn't apply it to pure breeds, because if you're buying a dog online, you either know or you don't know that it's coming from not a very good source.
And if you know, you don't care.
And if you know, you don't care.
Thank you for participating in that game. I actually want you to tell us those questions. I read online that it is 14 questions. Am I right?
12.
12. Okay. I'm sorry. So it's 12 questions. What are they? And what is the goal of the app?
Ooh, well, we're not going to tell you all of them, because then it would be no fun.
Okay.
So what the algorithm does is, based on your answers to the questions, the algorithm goes through over 220 breeds. There are no designer dogs. There are no mixes. These are all pure breed dogs.
Okay.
So size is one, right? Grooming. People never think about grooming. You can get a beautiful dog and not realize that it needs to be cut every 6 weeks. Nail trimming, all of that. But the grooming, some of these animals have cuts, like a Cocker Spaniel has a certain cut. If you don't cut it, it doesn't have to look like a show dog, but there's still grooming involved.
Right.
So grooming is, do you want to brush a dog? Do you want to shedding?
Right.
Huge, huge. My dog barely sheds.
Right.
If she does, it's like eyelashes.
Mm-hmm.
Get a husky, get a corgi, where you are, you look like you just fell out of the dryer. The lint trap, you're full of hair.
Mm-hmm.
Drooling.
Yes.
How about drooling? My friend had a baby, and her husband comes home with a mastiff. She loved the dog, but she said, she's like, why would you do this to me? I'm like holding a baby in like a washcloth, cleaning up the drool. It drooled on the walls, on the floor. It was so big that it could put its head on the countertop. It was drooling literally all over her entire house. She said, if I had known, this dog would never have come into the home. So barking.
Yes. Huge, especially depending on where you live.
You fall in love with a beagle, you're going to end up with a notice from the management company that you're going to have to leave your apartment.
Yeah.
They're incessant barking that will be going on when you leave your apartment. So, you know, these are things people need to factor. Mental stimulation. Nature created animals to do something.
Right.
So if you have a herding dog, let's say a corgi, Those are big in apartments because people think they're adorable. It's the wrong dog for an apartment. It's a herding dog. It needs a job. So now you've got a dog that you wonder why it's like nipping at the kids and taking the pillows off of the sofa. It has an urge. It can't do what it's supposed to do. You interpret that as anxiety. Next thing you know, you're going to a vet and getting medication for a dog that should be living in the suburbs.
Right. Yeah.
So those questions, mental stimulation, grooming, shedding, barking, size, it all of that makes a difference. And all of that pulled together then gets the right dog for you.
Do people actually say like, yes, I want a barker ever?
No, because you're answering questions. You're not telling the app what you want.
Got it.
In other words, it'll say barking level.
Okay.
So if you want like no barking, you get a Shiba Inu who doesn't bark.
Ooh.
Right? So there are breeds that don't bark. Or do you want a dog that just lets you know like the mailman's at the door? Or a more vocal dog? And then there's
like security or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So this dog, for instance, this Italian Greyhound, because I live in an apartment and I used to live in the Caribbean, so she's used to different environments, but I've always, when she started to bark, if she hurt someone, I would tell her to be quiet. So, you know, this dog doesn't bark a lot because I didn't encourage it.
Right.
Living in an apartment, if she heard someone in the hallway, she may bark a little bit and then I would be like, shh, and then she would just stop. Where my mom's Italian Greyhound, because she lives in a house, she can see out the window. So she's more active and more stimulated. Mm-hmm. But as a rule, they are not incessant barkers, where a beagle is, or a husky is a howler, or, you know,
a schnauzer.
If barking is an issue,
yes.
That's right. So if barking is an issue, that's something that most people never think about.
Until it's too late. Until, like you said, they have like issues with their management company or their neighbor, yeah. Et cetera, for sure. So tell me about this app. What inspired you to create it? And what is so important to you about what you do with it?
Sure. So I think it was a couple of things that sort of came together that sort of took me on this journey. And the journey was really, it started with COVID, actually, you know, going through COVID in New York City and being quarantined alone with my dog was, you know, you get inside your head. And mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time really thinking about just life. And I realized that I had wasted a lot of time in my life. And I wanted my COVID story to be a good story. I wanted something really good to come out of that experience because I could have been sick. You know, I have friends who lost family members.
Yes.
You know, I have a brother, I have a mom. We all made it where statistically we could not have. So that was sort of going on in my head. And then I started realizing that, you know, I'm walking in the city and I'm looking at these people that were quarantined and now they're getting out. And their dogs are just all over the place. And I was noticing a trend. Doodle dogs, doodle anything, corgis, Frenchies. I just was noticing miniature Australian shepherds. Mm. That's not an apartment dog. So I thought, Jesus, you know, what is wrong with Bill? Why are people getting these dogs? This is like, you know, what I'm saying to myself. So I left the city because I have a business. And which, by the way, the dog industry, that's like not my thing. Like, I thought this was going to be a side hustle and it like took over my entire life. But I had moved to the city in June and in August, this was over 2 years ago. In August, I think I had parked my car. So from the parking garage to the lobby, to the mailroom, to my apartment, I saw three miniature Australian shepherds.
Oh, my Lord.
And I think I was yelling out loud to myself as I'm opening the door. And I'm like, what the F is wrong with people? Why are people getting these dogs? Isn't there an app? Isn't there something that should be telling these people? I literally was saying that as I'm like going into my apartment. It was on a Wednesday. I'll never forget it. So I literally started to search. and there was nothing available. Zero. I, like some deep, dark place, I found something that asked me like four questions that were completely irrelevant or not necessary. Don't ask me about paper training, because that's, you have to paper train every dog. So it was really bizarre. And it recommended two dogs that I would never have in an apartment, which was a Jack Russell and a Labrador Retriever.
No.
So I realized that this was a huge problem. And I'm a responsible dog owner. People are buying animals solely based on what's trending. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started this journey and said, there needs to be an app, because there is none. I saw a problem and I had a solution.
That's amazing.
And that's where the journey started.
That's amazing. Congratulations, because that takes a lot of conviction and a lot of, what is it called? Like, just...
Well, there's drive and determination. And I think, so going back to that, I'm stuck in my head in COVID in New York City. I don't have children. I wanted to leave something when I am no longer on this planet that made a difference in the world. Yes. And that all came with just self-realization and just saying, wow, you know, I don't have kids. I want to, what, I'm going to die tomorrow? And like, what? I was nice to people. Like, I really wanted to do something that mattered. So this is 100% personal. That's why the app is free. I don't have investors. I completely fund the app and everything that goes with it. And it was all about getting people to do the right thing. And then I took the app one step further. So I'll tell you that when you want to know.
I do want to know. Tell me now.
So recommending reads for people. So what happens with the app is you answer the questions and then it'll populate a list. So then you can look through the list. And when you click on the image of the dog, let's say you were matched with a Boston Terrier, you can read about it. But then when you click on the image again, are you ready for this? It brings you to the Boston Terrier Club of America. Every breed in this country has their own, it's called a parent company. They have their own breed association website. I send people directly to them. They can look for litters, dog shows, rescues. Every pure breed has their own rescue group. You can even adopt a retired show dog that is 6 or 7 years old. It didn't make sense for me to create an app that recommended a dog that you can now go buy in a pet store. It was foolish. I wanted to say, here's a breed, and this is where you need to go to get it. So that is what makes this incredibly unique. And I have to tell you, there was no app, and I am female. I'm just putting a shout out there to women over 50. We are not all about leaky bladders and sweats and headaches. Right? Like, you know what I mean? You don't need to put us out to pasture because we have, you know, there's no use for us. You'd be surprised at what we can do. And I am very proud.
I completely applaud the fact that you had this vision and that you're doing the right thing, not only providing the information, but the resources. So pet parents who are getting the wrong pets, you have no excuse. There is literally no excuse for making that huge mistake that we all made at some point in the 80s because we didn't know any better. Like, there is no excuse now. People have the resources. They have the app. They have the contacts. That's they have the list. And now it's time to do better. So thank you for giving pet parents the opportunity to do the right thing and to do better.
To do better and do the right thing. I bought a dog at a pet store 25 years ago. I didn't know. I didn't really understand. The poor thing, she was absolutely adorable. She came from a puppy mill and she was full of skin allergies and issues. And the vet said it was all breeding and she was from a puppy mill. So, you know, I've walked in those shoes, but I also have a dog that came from a breeder who breeds show dogs, but she was too small. She was born with what's called a DQ, a disqualifier. She didn't meet the breed standard. That's also something people don't realize. And look, she hasn't made one peep since we've chatted. She was sleeping on my lap the whole time.
She has this little smile on her face that I just adore.
So, you know, it is more expensive to buy a dog at a pet store than it is to get a dog from a breeder.
And most people don't even know because they're not doing enough research. They're not looking into it enough. But I want to talk more about breed specifically and your experience with helping people choose the right breed for them. But we need to take a break right now. Let's listen to our sponsors. And when we come back, Elizabeth is going to help us navigate apartment dogs for all of those of you who currently live in apartments and don't have a plan on leaving the apartment life. We'll be right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I'm speaking to Elizabeth Menegon, who is the founder of the Hands to Paws app that helps people find the right breed and dog for their family. So today I want, now that we've already talked about the app and how you conceived it and all that, I want to play a second game with you, Elizabeth. And this is called This Not That Apartment Dog Edition. So I'm going to give you a list of breeds. And you're going to tell me if you agree with ReadersDigest.com that these would make for good apartment dogs. If it's a,
you're going to get me in trouble. Okay.
If it's a good option, you say this works. And if you don't think it's a good option, you say not that.
Okay. And then you have to take a drink. Is that how that works?
If you want to take a drink, you can definitely take a drink. I'll be drinking too. All right.
You can take a sip. Okay.
The first one is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
A lovely breed, absolutely adorable, very sweet. There's so a few medical things you have to consider, but yes, I agree with that. But can I put a but in there?
Yes, of course.
Okay. If you live in a city and you took your shoes off, left your socks on, walked around the block and went back up to your apartment, didn't take off your socks, and went and got into bed, how would you feel? The King Charles Spaniels, they have really hairy paws. And when you walk them in the city, you get a whole bunch of hangers on and some funkiness in their paws. It's just the way they are.
Right.
You have to be diligent, like when you bring them in, like you literally walk them over to the kitchen sink and wash their feet. If you don't mind that, like my dog has no hair in her feet, but I would take her the minute I walked in my apartment and put her in the sink.
Yeah.
Very sweet dog. A nice dog for an apartment, living very friendly, but you'd have to think about the paws.
Yep. That's a good point. Very good point. All right.
Very hairy. Yeah.
Yeah. The next one is a Great Dane. Is that a good apartment dog or not that?
You know, believe it or not, bigger dogs in apartments do well because they don't require the exercise. Now, in New York City, if you have a studio, your Great Dane is like a sofa and a dog. They're big. And with that comes, you don't need like a poop bag when you're walking a Great Dane. You need like a reusable shopping bag. You have to be ready to pick up like fire log loads on the sidewalk. So if you know, and God forbid, I mean, in New York City, you take a dog to a park and you don't clean up after it.
Oh, yeah.
There's like the mad mob behind you.
Absolutely.
So it's swinging that huge bag of dog poo.
All
if you don't mind that, beautiful breed. They don't live very long.
Yeah.
You know, Great Danes, boy, if they're 10, that's old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the size. If you don't mind the size, terrific dog.
Yeah, I'm a little claustrophobic, so I feel like in a tiny house with a huge dog, I'd be kind of on edge. So that wouldn't work for me, but I know a lot of people make it work, and they're great dogs. How about a pug? Good apartment dog or not that?
Pugs. Oh, pugs are sweet. Yes. Nice apartment dog. Again, it's interesting. There's medical issues with pugs. They're brachiocephalic. Mm-hmm. So they're flat-faced. Actually, the same with the King Charles Spaniel. They have an issue, too, with breathing. So these are not dogs you want to take out on a hot summer day in New York City. Mm-hmm. But as far as size, like tote, put them in a bag, bring them. It's also a nice low maintenance. There's no grooming involved.
Yes.
They're a great breed, but they have a lot of breathing issues.
Especially because of the breeding, right? That they're like...
If you say French Bull, I'm going to have a heart attack, so...
No, I was going to say Boston Terrier.
They're feisty. They can be feisty little dogs. When you socialize a dog a lot and get them used to people and noises. But a Boston Terrier is a nice dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Easy to groom. You don't have the furry feet. Again, you can have breathing issues. They can also have eye issues because the sockets, even with the pug, they have a shallower eye socket. Mm-hmm. I don't know the technical term, but if you've ever noticed, you've seen pugs that have one eye.
Yeah.
They can have eye issues or an eye can pop out.
Yes.
But yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay. How about a Havanese?
That's a longer haired dog. So there is some grooming and brushing. Again, you got the furry, you know, the let me wear my socks around the block. You've got that dirty. Yeah, you have the dirty feet. So you've got to deal with all of that hair.
Yeah.
It's a nice dog. I probably wouldn't have thought of that breed, but it's a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. So it's manageable. Don't forget, when you live in a city, most people, well, now it's a little different, but you hop in an Uber, you hop on the subway, you hop in a taxi. You want something that you can transport.
Yeah.
You want to go shopping. They're easier. That's why you see a number of smaller dogs suggested.
Yes, it makes sense. Dachshunds.
Cute dog. A dachshund's a very sweet dog. They can have skin issues. They're not for everyone. But yeah, size-wise, low maintenance as far as grooming. It's just personality may be difficult.
Okay.
But yeah, another great dog size-wise.
Last one. Talking about difficult personalities, a Chihuahua. Would that make a good apartment dog?
Oh my goodness. Well, if you actually get the right Chihuahua, first of all, the Chihuahua you actually see is nothing like what a pure breed Chihuahua looks like. You'd be absolutely shocked because they don't look anything like that. But yes, Chihuahuas are sweet. They can be territorial. They can pick one person. A poodle's like that, but they're very sweet. And that's strictly size. You're speaking size-wise. Perfect. They're a sweet dog.
Perfect. Great job. Okay. So even the idea of going from zero pets to one pet or one pet to two pets requires a lot of thinking, consideration, a lot of time looking for the right pet, not just impulse buying or rescuing a pet. Does the app ever say, no, there is no dog for you? It's not the right time.
No, actually, it doesn't say, by the way, do you really want a dog and do you have the money or are you just being impulsive? Did you have three glasses of wine and decide to buy a dog? Which I only do on Sephora. You know, you have a drink and then you go shopping and then you go, why did I buy these tweezers? We spend more time in this country researching restaurants and where to go on vacation than buying a dog. Mm-hmm. And a dog is a 15-year commitment. We are inundated with doodles and ads and all these designer dogs. And what's happening is people are creating science experiments. They're breeding dogs to get the look, right? The Puggle actually was a puppy mill creation. They want that next, oh my God, we love this. This is a great dog. Like the Pomsky, a Pomeranian and a Husky. So it looks like a Pom, but it's marked like a Husky. What a nightmare. You've got two different personalities. So, you know, if people would stop buying what's in,
yes.
I mean, you can do a whole show on, you know, the psychological approach to why people have to keep up with the Joneses. that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. So there are beautiful breeds out there you can get that you don't need to get a doodle. A doodle is marketed as hypoallergenic. There's no such thing as a hypoallergenic dog. And a breeder who breeds show dogs will never say hypoallergenic, because you can be allergic to the dander.
Right.
You can be allergic to the saliva.
Yes.
A dog can lick your hand and now you've got hives.
Mm-hmm.
That's a marketing tool to sell the dogs. Oh my God, the guy's, his name has left my head, who created the doodle in Australia. And he said he created Frankenstein, quote unquote. So he has to live with that, with the regret of creating that. But people are getting it because it's in. Mm-hmm. Other people have it. Huge mistake. You know, buying an animal, I love a miniature bull terrier. It's like a five-year-old child.
Right.
I don't have the room for it, and I would never buy one. I love them, but I can't give them what they need.
Right.
And that's why I don't have one.
Exactly.
So it's, what do you want versus what can you handle?
Yes.
And what is the outcome? You know, if I sat here with you and I had a dog that was bouncing off the walls here, that wouldn't work for me.
No.
But I have a dog that's asleep on my lap.
Right.
So it's all what works in your lifestyle. If you want to get a dog because, you know, your marriage is in the dumpster, that's not a reason to get a dog.
Exactly.
If you want to get a puppy for your kids because they saw one on TV, that's not the reason, because it's a living, breathing creature. And here's another statistic I'll share with you. 60%, okay, 60% of owner surrenders to shelters are wrong breed and medical conditions, because these animals originated from pet stores and backyard breeders and puppy mills being sold online.
Yep.
They find out the animal's ill. They don't have the money.
Yes.
So they bring it to a shelter and say, oh, we're moving and we can't take the dog. Then they vet it and they realize it has a heart issue and needs $10,000 in surgery. If 100 people downloaded the app and got the right breed, that's 100 people less that would be going to a shelter and dumping off a dog.
Bravo. It's so true. Yeah. Don't do this to yourself. So tell us, how can my audience learn more about the app? Where do we get it?
So the app is available on the Apple Store and Google Play. It's a free download. You can also go to our website at hands2paws.com. You can download it there. You can follow us on Instagram, which is hands_2paws. We not only put a lot of information, but dog stuff. When should you wash a dog bowl? Dog clipping? What happens if your dog rips a toenail out? We focus on all things that are a reflection of responsible pet ownership. Download the app, go through the questions, do it as a family, do it, take two drinks and do it again and see if it's the same. It's almost like a dating app, right? You have to get your head in the right headspace, but it gets people thinking. It gets you thinking, say, I would never think about barking. And they're like, oh, hell no, I don't want a dog that barks.
Exactly.
So it's fun to download and see your matches. Yeah. And it's available in Canada, and it's also available in the UK.
Congratulations. I just want to propose a toast to you for creating app that I will use the next time I'm in the market for a dog. Cheers to you. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for, you know, letting me be a part of your platform.
I also want to propose a toast to my executive producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark, for these awesome opportunities to chat with
people.
And to our audience, thank you, audience, for joining us for these conversations, for joining us and doing the right thing by your future pets and your current pets. And thank you to Vanessa, my adorable canine guest over here. I'm going to pin to her. Vanessa, you have been such a doll. I am so happy to have met you. I love your little smile. And one day, maybe I will give you a squeeze in person. Oh my God, she's so cute. She's so cute.
She's so easy. She travels on a plane. You never know she was there.
I adore her. I don't even know her. Well, I just want to propose a toast to everybody. Here's to a life covered in pet hair, because there's no better way to live. Cheers. To learn more about Covered in Pet Hair, please visit coveredinpethair.com or petliferadio.com. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. only on PetLifeRadio.com.